are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Now, managing depression is an ongoing process that requires practical coping mechanisms. And so today, we are going to be exploring simple but effective strategies to help individuals handle daily challenges and to stay mentally strong. So joining us once again, we have from the Vista Clinic, Yolanda Rootman, who's going to be helping us take a look at some coping mechanisms for daily struggles. Yolanda, good morning and welcome back to the program.
Good morning, Bongi. Always a pleasure to be with you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. We always appreciate your time. So we're talking about coping mechanisms. What are some of those healthy ways that we can use to cope with daily stress and depression?
For me, the very first thing is just being aware that you are experiencing daily stresses. Mm. I think we just get into this everyday rumble tumble of life, getting to the next thing. And we sometimes just don't take enough time to stand still, take a moment and just evaluate. You know, after traffic, you're just so glad you got to work that you're not taking a moment to be like, hey, whoa, that actually took a little bit out of me.
Yeah.
So my strategies would be stop, look at your emotions on a daily basis, check in with yourself and do things that you enjoy, things that bring you joy, things that just ignite that spark again. And then your basics, make sure you're sleeping well, you're eating well, you're reaching out to your support systems, you're engaging in hobbies, and you're just creating a life worth living outside of the everyday rat race of just getting where you need to be.
Right.
And that would be a good start.
Right. I just want to go back to something that you said about basically checking in with yourself and just recognizing some of the impact of the things that you're going through on a daily basis. And you use the example of traffic. Someone's thinking, well, how do I do that? I mean, I know that I hate the traffic. I know I hate when this happens to me. So what does it actually mean to be aware of those feelings? And how do I deal with those in a healthy way? What does that actually mean?
I think you use the example of traffic. The self-awareness knowing is that, and you just said, I know that traffic drains me. I know at the end of traffic, I just feel, oof, I want to punch something.
Yeah.
So what are some strategies that makes traffic feel good for you? And that can be waking up in the morning and leaving enough time for you to maybe have a cup of tea or to just drive or leave the house 5 minutes earlier.
Okay.
That can alleviate. Or whilst you're sitting in traffic, knowing I have no control over this, getting yourself maybe an audiobook or a podcast that you enjoy. Mm-hmm. It can be that you just put on a nice song that you like or listen to Bongi on the radio.
Right.
That can also be
great. That's an idea.
But really just make the journey and the everyday things you're doing a little bit more enjoyable.
Got it.
And then when those emotions come up to say, whoa, I'm feeling this emotion now, what's going to help me overcome this emotion, or what's going to help me the next time feel a different emotion?
Okay, I like that. So it's not about denying what the situation does to you, and it's not just about just bearing it and suffering through it, but actually what can I do to make it more bearable and just facing it head on with a different attitude.
Exactly that.
Got it. And then another thing that a lot of people out there like, but I know a lot of people think, what is the point of this? Journaling. How does journaling and self-reflection, how do those help improve mental health?
Okay, so journaling and self-reflection can be powerful tools in improving mental health because they help us process our emotions.
Right.
Very often, like you just said, we just feel these emotions and we are pressured to just get over them and move on with the day.
Mm-hmm.
But emotions are our body's warning signs to tell you somewhere a boundary has been overstepped. Mm. Somewhere something is not going the way you planned. An expectation is not being met. A value system isn't being upheld. And that's why you have emotions. And they're there to warn you. So when we have time, and journaling helps with that because it helps you to, first of all, just take a moment because you need to sit, you need to carry out this action,
mm-hmm.
write it down. It allows you to just reflect, what was it that I was feeling? And then delve deeper into, why did I feel this?
Yeah.
What was happening that I was unaware of? So journaling and self-reflection helps with emotional release because sometimes it's a great way to just vent. It helps you identify your thought patterns and behavior patterns so that you can address them. It strengthens your problem-solving skills. So that's a great reason to journal.
Yeah, yeah.
It also just boosts your gratitude and positive thinking, because when we're so stuck in these negative emotions, we sometimes just glide over all the good and positive things that happened to us in that day. And it also just helps us to track our growth and our progress to see how far we have come, because sometimes we make these small changes, but we don't take note of them and we wait for them to make big differences. And then we don't actually see the progress we're making.
Yeah. Yeah. Very true. Very true. And then what role does setting realistic goals play in coping with depression?
I think setting realistic goals is a powerful strategy in terms of it provides structure, motivation, and sense of accomplishment.
Yes.
When we suffer with depression or anxiety, it becomes nearly impossible to fulfill daily tasks. Mm-hmm. So having unrealistic expectations like, today I'm going to get up, I'm going to shower, I'm going to get dressed, I'm going to clean the house, I'm going to do one, two, three at work. It's so unrealistic. Sometimes the anxiety and depressive symptoms are so intense that you use almost all your energy just getting to the shower. So breaking them down into smaller, little, manageable steps gives you that sense of purpose and direction. It helps you reduce those feelings of hopelessness.
Yeah.
And it encourages you to try new things and keep on with these behaviors.
Yeah.
Because if you want to reach for those stars and every time you just fall short, going to stop trying. So rather break these overwhelming tasks down, really see what it is that you can achieve in a day, and then just keep going at it and be realistic in those goals that you set. Make sure that you can achieve them.
Beautiful. I think that's a good one, because I know a lot of times we have these lofty goals. And right now we're coming towards the end of February. Somebody's New Year's resolutions are down the drain, because they aimed a little bit too high. And I know we're always encouraged to aim for the stars, but even as we do that, we have to be realistic. And I don't want to say that in a pessimistic kind of way, but just having those smaller goals to get you to the stars. Easy does it, right?
Yeah. And remember, with goals come objectives. Break that goal down into smaller steps.
Exactly.
Because we shoot for the stars, but then we have no way how we're going to get there.
Exactly. Exactly. And then how do relaxation techniques such as meditation and deep breathing be beneficial? I know there's a Christian out there who's saying, tread carefully.
I hear you. But remember, meditation especially is also prayer.
Exactly.
You know, prayer is also a form of meditation, connecting with God and talking with him, connecting on a spiritual level.
Yeah.
That's also a form of that meditation.
Right.
Checking in with yourself, your body, physically, your muscles, relaxing them, taking in a deep breath, being outside, feeling the sun on your skin. It's more referring to just being mindful, being in the moment and reaching for the things that's going to recharge you.
Yeah.
So those can be things like, it reduces stress, anything that helps you to reduce stress and anxiety, going out with friends, taking your dog for a walk, maybe praise and worship. Mm-hmm. These are prayer, journaling. These are all ways that you can connect.
Yeah.
Other ways that relaxation can help is it improves your emotion regulation, because you're not in that emergency mode all the time. It promotes you a sense of control. Like, if I can really look at this problem and find a solution, then I'm not reacting, but I'm acting from a place of knowledge.
Right.
And then also, relaxation lowers those physical symptoms, like those heart palpitations and fast breathing and that feeling of overwhelmedness. So take a moment, take a breath. You're a human being, not a human doing.
I like that. But I know someone's listening and thinking, well, I'd love to do that, but I don't have the time. And I don't have a moment to myself. At all hours of the day, there's a child screaming, or there's a boss demanding something, or my phone is ringing off the hook. There's just always something. And by the time there's a moment of peace, I'm just falling asleep, and I don't have time to think. I don't have time to just be from the moment I wake up, everything is demanding something from me. How do I find the time or create those moments of relaxation in the middle of all the chaos?
And this is a difficult thing because that rings true to so many people out there.
Yeah.
And the hard answer to this is that it's going to have to be important enough to you to make the time. You're going to have to set the boundaries.
Yeah.
Because as you've said, if a boss calls you into a meeting, you can make the time.
Yeah.
If your child gets sick and needs you to support them, you make the time.
Right.
And you have to know that you're as important as all these other things. And it comes down to setting those boundaries and making an active decision to say, I also need to take care of me as I do with everyone else.
Yes, I love that. And then what about building a support system? How does that help us in daily struggles with depression? And also, how do I build a support system in the first place?
So having a strong support system is crucial when dealing with depression because it provides emotional support, practical, as well as just psychological stability.
Mm-hmm.
And depression often leads to isolation, self-doubt, and overwhelming emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, by having these people, and you can get them through your church, through building community, support groups, friends, professional help. All of these are places where you can get that support.
Mm-hmm.
And that support system can help to reduce feelings of loneliness and isolation that is so prominent when dealing with depression.
Mm.
It provides an emotional validation. So someone can say, I can see that you're going through a hard time. It's not all in your head. It's not you wanting attention. So it provides that validation. But a good support system also allows you to challenge negative thought patterns and say, you know, I see you're struggling, but what you're doing and how you're behaving is not going to be helpful.
Right.
Let's find other more effective coping mechanisms.
Mm.
And in that way, they encourage healthy habits. And they can also just provide practical support. Something as simple as, you know what, I'm cooking extra tonight. Can I give your family maybe meals for the next 2 days?
Mm.
You know, I see you're running late in the mornings. Our kids go to the same school. Can I come and pick them up? Sometimes they can just be like, you know, let's make a time to just have a coffee. Practical things of just how can I lighten the load for someone else?
Mm, beautiful.
That can be very helpful.
Beautiful. Any final words about, you know, the coping mechanisms we can employ when going through depression?
Yes. And my final word today is be curious.
Okay.
Be curious about how you can show up for yourself. Go read up more about support structures. Go find out how you can make menial tasks more meaningful to you.
Mm-hmm.
And really be curious about how you can make time and find time for the things that bring you joy.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Yolanda Rootman from the Vista Clinic. Appreciate your time as always and look forward to our next conversation.
Thank you, Bongi. Bye.
Bye-bye.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.